Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of EduMatch Tweet and Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Sarah Thomas, or something like that. And today's episode is going to be truly special as we're celebrating World Read Aloud Day. But before we get into the heart of our discussion, a quick reminder, if you're enjoying our podcast, please take a moment to like and subscribe. Share your thoughts using the hashtag podcastedu and join our vibrant Facebook group for more engaging discussions and updates. Today, we'll explore how EduMatch authors bring their stories to life, sharing excerpts from their children's books, and discussing the themes of digital citizenship, emotional management, technological innovation, and the love of math. This episode not only celebrates reading aloud, but also delves into the educational impact of storytelling. So whether you're listening in your car, during your workout, or as you wind down for the day, thank you for tuning in. Let's dive into the wonderful world of EduMatch together. Stay tuned and let's get started. EduMatch, it's EduMatch. EduMatch, it's EduMatch. You're at EduMatch. EduMatch, don't miss EduMatch. Don't miss EduMatch. You're at EduMatch. EduMatch, don't miss EduMatch. Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are here for a special, special treat today, World Read Aloud Day, and we have a few of our EduMatch authors who are here to share excerpts and snippets of their book with you, our wonderful EduMatch family. So as always, we are super, super excited to have you here. So this is going to be coming out as the live stream, which I see that some of you are tuned in. So welcome to, as well as the podcast. And, you know, it'll also be available on our YouTube and on our Twitter and things of that nature and within our Facebook group. So as always, please share, like, and subscribe, and feel free to join us at edumatch.org. But without any further ado, let's get into what we're here today for. So today, as you probably know, is World Read Aloud Day. So we're here to celebrate it. Have to give a huge shout out to EE because it was her idea to bring folks together. And so we have a great, great selection of our EduMatch authors here. So in the house with us, in no particular order, we have the great Jen Casa Todd. We have the great Dr. Joy, we have the great Alice Aspinall, and we have the great E.E. Dowd in the house. So this is how it's going to work today. We're going to go through, each of our authors is going to take the hot seat, and they will introduce themselves, and they'll give a quick overview of their book. And then after that, they're going to share with you a passage that they've selected from their book. So does that sound good? Everybody ready? Okay. So we're going to rock, paper, scissors in order, or I think I'm just going to go in the order that you are laid out on the video. So if that's okay with everybody, we're going to start first with Jen. So Jen, if you can take the hot seat, and I'm going to just put everyone down below for a second, but I'll bring you back up when it's your turn. All right. So here we go. Jen, hello. How are you today?
Hello, Sarah. I am exhausted from a full day of teaching, but so excited to be here.
Yes, we are super excited to have you. So thank you so much for joining us. And tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
So my name is Jennifer Casa Todd. I'm a teacher librarian from Ontario, Canada. I'm also a Google certified innovator and trainer. And Sarah was part of our New York City cohort, which is amazing. I'm a longtime EduMatcher, and EduMatch has literally transformed my teaching and learning. In addition to that, I'm an author of several books, including our latest co-authored children's book, which is the focus of tonight, which is Aubrey Bright in the Games We Play. And that's the second in a series of books. I also get to do workshops with teachers, and I'm a keynote speaker sometimes too. So, and a mom and a wife and all the things. I curl. A lot of people always find that interesting. I'm Canadian and I curl. Yes. Yes, I do. But that's nice. It. That's a little bit about me.
Well, that is fantastic. That is quite a resume and repertoire that you have going on there. So we're excited to hear more about your book. So if you could please share with us about Aubrey Bright.
Absolutely. And I didn't time this. So you're going to have to like do the whole cane when I'm done.
Got you.
So yeah, right. So Aubrey Bright in the Games We Play is the second in a series of books about Aubrey Bright and her family. Her grandma plays prominently in the previous book, as does Maya, her best friend. Wait, Maya, there she is. And in this book, we introduce Ty, who is her brother. And Lee Castle and I are co-authors, and we honestly met online long time ago, and we had kind of talked about maybe doing a children's book. And then our illustrator is a former student of mine. We were driving down to grad and she was helping, and she shared that she had this dream of illustrating a children's book. And I said, really? Okay. So she illustrated our first book and this book, and I love her style. Like, it's very much, this is awkward, but like, just very much in the vein of kind of, she's inspired by anime. You know, in this book, again, you're going to meet Grandma, who is wise and wonderful, not very technologically savvy, but certainly very wise in terms of her advice and her sharing with Aubrey. So it's really a book that breaks stereotypes around gaming. So our main character has never gamed before, but her brother Ty, you know, helps her, teaches her how to game. But it's not just, I mean, Lee and I were very intentional about making sure we didn't create a very preachy kind of digital citizenship book. So it has elements of digital citizenship and safety, but it's very much a book about friendship and conflict and how to resolve conflict, admit you're wrong, try something new. So we're super proud of the book. And I love Aubrey, and I love the characters. And I'm just so happy to be here and happy to share, and grateful to Edgematch for publishing it. So should I read a little bit?
Yes, please.
Pull me off the stage.
Okay, make sure. We'd love to hear your selection that you have chosen for us.
Okay, so it's just like middle of the book, and Aubrey and her best friend Maya, who is on the front page, had a fight, and Grandma gave her some very good advice, and she's sort of sat and thought about the advice a little bit, and we're at the point in the story where she then goes to Ty to try something new. So I'll begin with this. The next morning, Aubrey rolled out of bed and headed to Ty's room. She knocked quietly on his door. As usual, Ty ignored her. Ty, please open the door, Aubrey pleaded. I'm busy. Go away, Ty called back. But then he heard Aubrey start to cry. Aubrey, don't cry. Come in. What's up? You're not your usual annoying self this morning, Ty said. Maya and I had a fight, and I kind of think it was my fault. I'm sorry, Aubrey, Ty said affectionately. How about I teach you how to play this game? Sure, I guess, Aubrey sighed. Ty handed Aubrey a controller and said, here, put on the headset. First thing we need to do is choose your avatar and create your in-name game. Something different than your actual name to keep you safe. How about two doves, Aubrey suggested. And if you read the first story, you would get what that name is all about. Perfect, Ty said as he keyed in her name. What we're trying to do here is work together to create a world and survive, Ty explained. Ready? Ready, says Aubrey. What seemed like minutes was over an hour as Aubrey and her brother worked together to build new worlds. Aubrey was having more fun than she ever imagined. Soon she heard ping, 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 ping. The chat began filling up with Ty's friends who were joining the game. And then it happened. Sandollar joined too. Aubrey froze. Maya was online. Aubrey watched as Ty greeted his friends in the chat. Can I type in the chat? Aubrey asked. Sure, said Ty as he slid the keyboard over to her. Just don't share any personal info. There are other people in the game we don't know, Ty warned his sister. Okay, Aubrey hesitated for a moment, then typed, hey, Sandollar, glad you're here. She held her breath, waiting nervously for a reply. Hey, two doves, thanks. You're new here? Your name reminds me of someone I know. Aubrey paused, not sure how to reply. All right, enough chit-chat, you two, Ty interrupted. It's game time. And then you'll have to find out if they make up or how it all goes, because clearly I'm out of time.
Oh, that was beautiful. Yes. See, I know that everybody's probably sitting on the edge of their seat, you know, just trying to see what's going to happen next if the friends make up and become buddies again. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Jen. That was amazing. And we want to thank you so much for being here to celebrate World Read Aloud Day with us.
Thank you. And thanks for having me. Can't wait to listen to the rest.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. So up next, we're going to bring to stage Dr. Joy. How are you doing today, Dr. Joy?
You know, I was just like, this pepped me up. I was tired. I was like crashing. So I was like, yeah. Oh, I get to do this. Yes, this gave me the energy. So thank you for the invite.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you for being here. It's always great to connect with you and to see you and just all of our authors here. Like, y'all are a phenomenal bunch, you know, but definitely looking forward to hearing more about the book. Well, I already know the book. Why am I faking like I don't know it? I know the book. I love the book. I know you. I love you. So if you can just please introduce yourself to our audience if they don't already know you.
Sure. I'm Dr. Joy, and I'm passionate about joy. So everything I do is through the lens of joy. I'm passionate about it, especially in organizations that serve children. And so whether it's youth development, schools, anyone who serves children, I'm passionate about cultivating joyful minds. And so I've been in education for 20 years. I've written 2 books with EduMatch. I currently serve as an instructor in a teacher's college. And then I'm the lead consultant and owner of my own company, JoyWork EDU, where I get to work all around the world with different organizations and developing leadership and really spreading joy. So my book, Back to Zero, was written about, I want to say, 3 years ago. I was so grateful. It didn't really start out about to be a book. It was like, what was the intention was that I was going to write this book. I was actually going through some stuff as a parent and trying to help my own child manage their emotions in school. And it's heartbreaking when your child has a difficult time doing that. And I realized that there were a lot of other parents like me as an administrator. I realized that there were a lot of students that were having a hard time managing emotions, and that was taking away their joy in school. I also realized there were a lot of adults too. So when I wrote this, I wanted to do something that was just very friendly and non-judgmental, but also opened the door for us to think about the fact that we all face challenges at some point in our day. And how do we embrace that idea with empathy and love so that we can help each other? So this is just a real simple read aloud that really started off as a poem that I wrote for my own child and turned into a book. I was thinking, if I could say something to him while he was in school, having a hard time, what would it be? And this is really where this book, how this book was created. So it's called Back to Zero. And it takes you sort of through a process of a child that is sort of having a very difficult time in school. But you will relate to this when it comes to having a difficult time anywhere. This one happens to be in school. There are times in school when I can't handle the load. For you, there may be times at home, there may be times at work, there may be times at the grocery store. It feels like my brain is going to explode. And I know we can all relate to that. And in these pictures in the beginning, I wanted the student to intentionally be like a shadow, because I think when we feel that way and we're not able to manage our emotions, we don't feel like ourselves. I'm reaching a level 10, a very scary space. I need to get back to zero, a much safer place. I hate that it happens when everyone is around. And I know we can all relate to that when we're feeling overwhelmed and we're not by ourselves. In the midst of it all, I'm having a meltdown. If you feel you're reaching a 10 and don't know what to do, I have a few ideas that will surely get you through. And then so the rest of the book are sort of coping strategies and ideas to help students, adults, or anyone get back to 10 or at least closer to it when they feel like they're overwhelmed, anxious, or just being filled with a really big emotion and they're in a situation where they may not be by themselves and they have to come up with strategies to just calm themselves down. And a lot of times we may not think of those strategies that work for us. So I wrote the book because I wanted to encourage everyone to kind of reflect on how they respond when they get into a difficult situation. What does their body feel like? What does their mind feel like? How do they automatically respond in a challenge? But then also, what can you do to sort of calm down when you get into a challenge without someone telling you calm down, because that really works. So what can you do to help yourself get back to a zero or closer to it? And then if you see someone in your group, a friend, in your family, at the workplace, anywhere, and you see them being filled with big emotions, how can you help them? How can we work as just humans in the community to help each other, others with challenges, because we all have them, they're a part of life. And with challenges comes challenging behavior. And so just to be able to, you know, embrace each other with empathy and love, because we're all going through it. So that's back to zero.
Absolutely love that. Thank you so much, Dr. Joy. And I know that sometimes when I find myself worked up, and sometimes I think of your book and try to get myself back to zero. So great book for people of all ages. So yes. Really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. Nice hearing about your book, Jen.
Great to see you. All right. Fantastic. So next up, we're going to bring up to the stage EE. Hello, EE. How are you today?
I am doing great. This is one of my favorite days of the year. World Read Aloud Days. One of my favorites. I just love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this was such a great idea that you had to have this event today. So definitely wanted to thank you very much for this, because, you know, like I am loving just revisiting all of the books and hearing, you know, hearing the samples again, and also hearing the backstories and things of that nature. So this is great. And it's great to have you on here and to reconnect with you. So if you could please just tell the audience a little bit about you if they don't already know you.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Sarah, for putting this together. I'm just absolutely thrilled to be in such amazing company. I'm just like fangirling right now with everybody in the room. But my name is E. Dowd. First name is Erin, which is what everybody usually calls me. But for all purposes, I'm E. Dowd. I currently live in New Hampshire, but I've lived all over the world all over China, India, Costa Rica, the UK, Honduras. I've traveled all over the place, taught in lots of places. I've been an educator for, over 20 years now, which is really always shocking to think about. It's that many years. But I've been, like I said, an educator, I'm an author. I currently work for ISTE, actually. So I'm still connected to education and technology, which I love. And the book that I wrote is not a picture book. It is a middle grade novel called Ship Shape. And has a lot of technology infused into it. There's also a little bit of AI, which I wrote this book, 10 years ago, before, you know, the AI boom happened, and there were just like little sparks of what was to come. And so now it's interesting to see how it's all developed, what I thought it might be like, and what it's actually like now. So it's kind of fun to look back and reflect. But Ship Shape is, like I said, a middle grade book. It's a mystery, lots of suspense. It's about three kids, they're best friends. They discover some mysterious things happening at their school, and they go on a mission to save their school and their teacher. So there's lots of cool things going on, robots and science and technology. One of the things that's in there too is how to be a change maker. So when problems arise, what can you do about it? Do you just kind of ignore it and pretend it's not there? Or do you see a problem and see if you can do something about it? And I think kids are so inspiring, and they're the ones that can make the change in the world. So really excited about it.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely. So futuristic. And it's a middle level book, our very first one that we published through EduMatch. But I have to say, this book is like, it doesn't matter how old you are. Like, if you're an adult, you will love this book as well. So could you please share with us your passage that you want to share?
Absolutely. Thank you. I'm going to read part of chapter 2 called E Squared. Ben and Nate sprinted to the park to meet up with their other good friend, Ellie. She was tall for her age, taller than the boys, and she had wild curly blonde hair with purple streaks that bounced like a pogo stick whenever she walked. Her bright blue eyes sparkled whenever she thought of a new idea or solved a complex problem. All she wanted to do was build things. It didn't matter what it was, as long as it could be constructed. She spent hours in her bedroom designing buildings and coding on her computer. Then she would walk around the neighborhood collecting materials to bring her ideas to life. Sticks, moss, rocks, old tires, discarded materials, and anything else she could find. Ellie was nothing short of a creative genius. As the boys approached Ella Baker Park, they saw Ellie rolling a little red wagon containing something lumpy, covered with a ratty purple patchwork blanket. Rolled up white paper peeked out from under the blanket. She always carried these planning sheets, as she called them, never knowing when inspiration for a new project would strike. The park was one of many in town, but this was where the kids met when they had very important business. They did their best thinking there. Ellie, finally, you're home. It feels like I haven't seen you in months, shouted Ben as he and Nate ran up to her in the wagon. Oh, please, it wasn't that long. It barely felt like any time at all, Ellie replied briefly. Let's have it. Why all the secrets? And what's under that ratty blanket? Ben said as he started to pull at one of the corners. Patience, Ellie laughed as she swatted away Ben's hand. What are you calling ratty? I've had that blanket since I was a baby. It's my favorite color and I love it. It could have been so interesting or important that we barely heard from you all summer, Nate asked. Seriously, Ellie, what is it? The suspense is killing me, Ben said with a smile. Ah, I'm glad you asked, Ellie exclaimed as Nate rolled his eyes. This, my friends, is my greatest creation. It's a work of art and science, Ellie said as she moved the wagon closer. With a flourish, she quickly tossed the blanket to the ground. Ta-da! Ta-da! What is that thing? Asked Ben, confused. In the little red wagon sat a kid-sized, almost human-like metal contraption. It had arms and legs, a body made of sleek silver metal, a head with curly hair, and a face with eyes that looked human. This metal thing was wearing a purple t-shirt and jeans with brand new Nike sneakers. It looked just like Ellie. Boys, this is E-squared. She's a robot, and she is going to change how we do things from now on. She motioned for them to come closer and dropped her voice down to a whisper. My summer robotics camp was unlike anything I have ever experienced. Something strange happened too, but I don't want to get into that now. The coolest thing was that each kid at camp made a robot and collaborated with a real company to create some pretty cool cutting edge technology. What was the strange thing that happened? Ben prodded. No, you're missing the point completely. The important thing is this, her voice rose as she pointed to the robot. I think it's great that you built this, Ellie, really. It's big and it kind of looks like you. I can tell you did a lot of work, but aren't robots just a lot of trouble? Ben asked. And I will stop there with a little cliffhanger and a little foreshadowing, because as the book goes on, we find out that robots can be a bit of a problem, especially when you replace teachers with them. So it's a lot of fun.
Yes, indeed. I love how like the characters just came to life. Like this is the first time I've heard it read out loud. And even like now it took on like a different dimension because I was just like, whoa. So Love World Read Aloud Day, you know, for precisely this reason, read alouds are so important, but it's also a great book to read, you know, aloud in your head. So,
absolutely. So fantastic. Yeah. Yes. And when I wrote it, I kept my students in mind and what they would like to listen to if I read a book to them. And so they were always front of mind when I was writing away. And so thank you for saying that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I used to love to read to my middle schoolers too. So yes, 100%. Well, thank you so much, EE. It was so great to hear that and great to have you on here. So thank you so much for sharing.
My pleasure.
All right. And last and certainly not least, we have our author, Alice, in the house. Hey, Alice, how are you?
Hi, Sarah. Good. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks. Thank you so much for being here. It's great to see you.
Thanks for having me. Happy World Read Aloud, everybody.
Happy World Read Aloud Day. Yeah. So I'm thoroughly enjoying the celebration and cannot wait for you to share your contribution today. But before we jump into that, if you could please just introduce yourself to our audience for anyone who may not know you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Alice Aspinall, and I am a secondary math teacher from Ontario. That's sort of my day job, but my side job, I guess, is the passion that I have for getting children to really enjoy and develop a love of math. a subject that usually brings a lot of big emotions. We had Dr. Joy talk earlier about big emotions, and math is usually one that elicits a lot of big emotions for children and adults alike. And so in our family, with my children who are not super, super young anymore, but at the time when I wrote my first book, Everyone Can Learn Math, they were very young. And I had friends and colleagues who knew what my message is in my classroom in high school about loving math and doing your best, and everyone can really achieve some sort of success. And they were asking me how they can ensure that their children end up enjoying math and not hating math like they did, not having a fear of math like they do as adults. And so from that idea, and the fact that in our house, we like to read quite a lot, we have tons of books, I kind of paired those two things together. And that's where the idea for my first children's book came. So I'm going to read today from this, the first book, Everyone Can Learn Math. But I'm going to point out too that I have a sequel to that published by EduMatch, Let's Explore Math. And this book is really, although the first one is a true children's story, there's a moral and everything, this book really, it has four parts and it follows the same characters, but it also has a lot of math in it. So kids who like to do math, and there's extra problems in the back and vocab, and there's just so much in this one for kids who really are learning to love math and want a little bit more. This is a really good option as a follow-up to the storybook. So the story follows a young girl named Amy who, like many children, she's in fifth grade. She has decided that she can't do math. She's not a math person. She can't do it. She gets into a fight with her mom trying to do a homework problem. And then she kind of goes about her day and recognizes that a lot of things that she and her friends encounter require a lot of hard work, dedication, perseverance. And she makes that connection to maybe if she treated math with that same attitude, she might be able to enjoy it a little bit more as well. So that's where we are in the book. And I know we're reaching our time limit, Sarah, so I'm going to keep it short, but that's where I'm going to leave off here in the story. So Amy's gone to school. She's told her teacher that she didn't do her homework assignment because she got angry and she can't do math, and all the things that we as educators hear from kids and sometimes adults about math. So her teacher says, "Amy, you are going to find that a lot of things in life are difficult and take a lot of work and practice. Does that mean you're going to quit every time?" her teacher questions. Suddenly, Amy realizes that math is just like everything else in her life. At first, she couldn't do an arabesque, but after practicing a lot, she was able to straighten her leg in the right way. Jonathan couldn't get across the monkey bars without falling, but after building his muscles, he can now make it across even though he still struggles. Miles didn't even make the basketball team, but he was determined to get better. Now he can sink all his free throws. If hard work and practice could work for these things, why couldn't they work for math? Amy asks Mrs. Garcia, "Could I please try the math assignment one more time and hand it in tomorrow?" Mrs. Garcia smiles, "Only if you promise to work through the problems when you get stuck. Try using a different method when you are frustrated. Instead of thinking of the candies as one large group, try working with the three groups you have in the beginning." Amy nods. She is thankful that her teacher believes in her, even when she has given up on herself. And I'll stop there and I'll let you read the ending on your own.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Alice. I love the way that, like, you see math through the eyes of several different characters and, like, how they are, you know, how they're all kind of learning and how they're growing and how they all have that growth mindset, you know, and how that takes them far and they persevere. So I see in our internal chat, then one person said that they wish that they had that book in school. And I can echo that as well. Yeah, but that is fantastic. So really appreciate you sharing that with us and being here to celebrate World Read Aloud Day. So thank you so much. Thank you. So I'm going to go ahead and bring everybody back up just as we get ready to close out for tonight. So thank you to all of our authors who are here, and also all of our EduMatch authors, all of our children's book authors that are all here with us in spirit, as well as all of our authors that we're carrying with us tonight as well. And thank you to the audience. We really appreciate you tuning in, whether it is on this live stream or if you come back later, if you come back later and watch the video, or if you hear our podcast. We really appreciate you all. And if you want to purchase any of these books, then you can find them if you go to edumatchpublishing.com and go to our site there, then all of the books are listed. And you may also find them on Barnes & Noble or Amazon or other places. So just check in. And if it's not there, then just ask the shopkeeper if they would carry it maybe. So thank you again. And just wanted to remind you all that tomorrow, if you're watching this in real time, tomorrow, which is February 8th, then we are going to have another special episode, which will be featuring Ryan Harding of Magic Portal Books. So continuing along our theme of reading and books. So definitely tune in for that. And please join us on Facebook in our Facebook group, as well as on our website, edumatch.org. And if you're listening to a podcast, then like, share, subscribe. So wanted to thank you all again and hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Take care, everyone. EduMatch. It's EduMatch. EduMatch. It's EduMatch. You're at EduMatch. EduMatch. Don't miss EduMatch.